The Chaosseed shook his head in bemusement. Randolphus was already standing, and Alma jumped onto her master's shoulders. The Chaosseed began to cast. Mist rose from the ground, surrounding the four of them. A node network appeared in Richter's gaze again, overlaying the dungeon. This time, there were new additions. 5 golden dots showed him where he could travel. A series of glowing lines connected each node, showing his established node road. The first gold spheres were familiar. One was outside of the dungeon at the snake mouth. The next was in the entrance chamber, and the third was in the egg genesis chamber. A fourth now appeared deep underground. It was only connected to the entrance chamber node. He knew it was the multi-chamber vault without checking, though the name of the room appeared next to the gold sphere as well. The fifth was physically situated between the egg room and the entrance chamber. It was the Barbican, and Richter's destination, but it was also slightly different than the rest. The golden dot in his mental map was only a quarter the size of the nodes, and there were actually a small cluster of them. That was because when he'd been cycling through the permutations for defensible rooms, he'd found a fun option. It was a transport sphere that only worked within his particular dungeon, something he'd come to think of as a mini-node. The benefit of having them was that they would only work for people that the room's owner considered friendly. The dungeon had provided a neat and tidy solution to the problem of enemies being able to teleport right into a fortified room, and thereby bypass the defenses. Any of his people would be able to transport to the Barbican instantly, but even if a stealthed rogue snuck in before a battle, the professional wouldn't be able to jump back behind enemy lines later. Richter had more questions about the mini-nodes, but not even Randolphus had heard of them before. That had surprised the Chaos Seed, but not the spy. Randy had reminded him that the Labyrinth was almost a universe in and of itself. There might literally be no limit to what it contained, and no one could know it completely. So Richter didn't know if the mini-nodes were just a function of the Barbican specifically, or if they could be applied on a larger scale, but for now, the Mist Village had its own private teleport network. There was also a sixth node that wasn't only golden. It was twice as large as the other. Not only was it bigger, but it also shone with an inner light. It was off to the side and not in the dungeon itself. Richter had to assume it was the epic gift he'd been given, the Master Node. He couldn't access that one, because the line connecting it to the dungeon, specifically to the entrance node, was gray and lifeless. Hopefully it would come alive once the dungeon hit level 10 and connected to the labyrinth. Richter chose his destination. 8 seconds after he had started casting dungeon transport, the three men appeared in the Barbican. Looking around, he was pleased to see that the fortified room was just as he had envisioned it in his mind. The air was neither warm or cool, just a pleasant, neutral temperature. The room was made of perfectly fitted marbled quartz, gleaming white with blood-red veins running through it, just like the Well of Offering. Wall sconces were placed around the room, and he was delighted to see that they also were just as advertised. At a touch, the light they emitted could be increased to almost blinding level of illumination or extinguished completely. Powered by the dungeon itself, they would work until the sun burned out, and maybe even afterward if the dungeon survived. Empty weapons racks lined the walls, and there was more than enough space for tables, chairs, and a few other amenities to be brought in. The room was rectangular, and each side had an exit. Set into the left and right walls were 2 fortified doors. They were wood, banded with metal, and were narrow enough that only one person could pass through at a time. Richter opened the one on the right and confirmed that it locked on the inside. Any defenders that were being too heavily pressed could lock them against invaders or monsters. Past the door was a windowless room whose walls were comprised entirely of marbled quartz. The room was large enough that it could serve as a small barracks for those assigned to the Barbican. It even had a small bathroom with both a toilet and a sink with running water. The dungeon magically supplied the agua and then drained it away. Richter had no idea where the sink or toilet water went, and he really didn't care. If the dungeon could consume bodies whole, it had already eaten its share of feces. The bathroom was just a nice little addition that he'd been able to tack on to make his soldiers' lives a bit easier. It was always a good idea to take care of one's employees. As his granddaddy had told him once, a man could put up with almost anything if he could shit and piss in peace. In the center of the room was a black spike with a small golden ball atop it. It was a mini-node, yet another security measure that would let trapped defenders leave the dungeon. Richter checked the door to the left next. As he'd expected, it was a carbon copy of the room on the right, complete with a mini-node of its own. The back wall of the room was set flush against the wall of the dungeon. In its center was the shimmering energy field that led to the entrance chamber and the Well of Offering. There was no door, but the marbled quartz wall was 3 feet thick. What no one but Richter and maybe Roswan knew at this point was that a slab of marbled quartz was suspended above the open doorway. If needed, a block of stone that was 35.5 inches thick and weighed exactly 45.63 tons could be dropped into place. Richter didn't think anyone could pass through the portal without his permission, but he was done making stupid assumptions. Maybe a giant wall of stone wouldn't protect his settlement from a high-level labyrinth monster, but then again, maybe it would. The far wall had a set of perfectly balanced wooden doors. The exit was twice as large as the doorways leading to the side rooms. Despite the extremely heavy weight of the doors, the otherworldly perfection of the room's construction let them be opened and closed by a single person with minimal effort. Both doors had cranks that, when turned, would fire bolts into both the wall and the other door, locking them in place. The outer wall itself was 5 feet thick, but the doors were recessed from the outside, only being 2 feet thick. The reason for the discrepancy was that a large block of stone was hidden above that doorway as well, ready to be dropped down to seal this room off from the rest of the dungeon. The only other features in the room were two stairways, each in a far corner of the chamber, leading up to the roof. The room was perfect in its simplicity. As skilled as Roswan was, the elf could never have made a structure that had such exact balance. Richter looked at the other two men in pride. Randolphus read his liege's face and gave the expected platitude. There was no sign of Roswan, though. A few moments later, the elf walked back into the central chamber from one of the side rooms, wiping excess water off on his pants.
Nice square room. That toilet can take a punch.
An unmatched fury rose in Richter for just a second.
You did not bless another man's bathroom if he hadn't done it himself yet. It just didn't happen.
Richter seethed for a few more seconds before finding his woosa again. Different world, different customs. Maybe. The KIC did give himself a moment to imagine how good it would feel to shave his dungeon master's mustache. That particular zen-like exercise always helped. Richter left the main door shut and barred. Instead, he jogged up one of the stairways, the other two men following closely behind. Once up top, they all saw what Richter already knew would be there. Battlements. The central chamber they had walked up from and the two side rooms were only half of the barbican. The other half was a large, open courtyard. More marbled quartz walls enclosed the square space. They were 4 feet thick, and his defenders would be able to patrol the tops of the walls protected by crenellated battlements. Looking down into the courtyard, it was easy to see that this section only had two exits. One was the large door leading back into the chamber they had just left. Two golden mini-nodes were set into the walls to either side of the doorway, allowing defenders to immediately escape danger, even if the doors to the inner room had already been closed. In the wall leading out to the dungeon was another perfectly balanced door. Above it, the wall rose higher than any other section. Instead of a slab of marbled quartz, this hid a high steel portcullis that could be dropped down in case of emergency. This would allow defenders to keep killing, attacking monsters, even as they retreated. Atop each corner of the square, the walkway widened enough to accommodate small siege engines. If another monster like the Mauler ever invaded, they would have to deal with ballista bolts and scorpion fire. There were also spouts pockmarking the walls. Above each spout, there was a hole on the inside of the battlement where oil, or any other liquid substance, could be poured to spray over the heads and bodies of invaders. Richter took a moment to walk to the front of the battlements and look out. There, somehow looking larger than he remembered, stood the Mauler. It looked back at him, their eyes almost level now that Richter was standing atop the barbican. He could feel its mind continuing to rage against the wall of blood magic that kept it under his control, but the enchantment would hold for another 22 hours. It would be enough. He asked if his new pet had been any trouble, but Roswan shook his head. The elf said the Mauler had just stayed in one position, apparently ordered to do so by Alma after she had knocked him unconscious. The dungeon beasts had also ignored it for now that it was no longer making threatening moves. Richter turned his attention back to his new room. It was an extremely strong fortification, but there was something strange about it. The second part of the room had been designed to allow defenders to kill those inside of the walls as easily as they killed those outside of them. Randolphus picked up on that almost immediately. "This is an amazing defensive structure, my lord, though I wonder if we might have created something different. I understand the need to protect the village from monsters, especially after the recent attack, but there is no guarantee that even the Mauler would have been able to break through the portal. Also, labyrinth monsters become dependent on the high concentrations of magic found in their home and dungeons. They would be more likely to simply retreat back into the labyrinth rather than risk death by leaving the dungeon and wasting away due to the lack of ambient mana." "I know," Richter responded with a knowing grin. "And you would be absolutely right if all I was worried about was monsters and adventurers. That isn't what this room is really for, though." With that last statement, he spent the majority of his remaining settlement points. This was the one purchase that was really going to make a difference. It was what he had checked the cost of before he'd spent a single point. This was what would make his village a true power in the land. Portal. Level, novice. Cost, 2,289 building points. Effect. Novice level portals must have the sending and receiving portal on the same ley line. Initiate. 5,538 building points. Initiate level portals must have the sending and receiving portal on the same type of ley line. The receiving portal must be initiate or higher if the ley line it is built upon is not the same ley line as the transmitting portal. Apprentice. 14,680 building points. Apprentice level portals must be built upon confluences of ley lines and can have multiple exit points. The number of exits is determined by the number of ley lines that the portal is built upon. The receiving portal must be initiate or higher if the ley line it is built upon is not the same ley line as the transmitting portal. Would you like to purchase an apprentice level portal for 2,936 settlement points? Yes or no? It was with great satisfaction that Richter, at long last, brought a portal to the Mist Village. Total settlement points remaining, 929. The ground of the courtyard shook as if there was an earthquake. The dungeon monsters that had been sniffing at the walls of the barbican fled in panic, though the Mauler remained motionless. Two large spikes of pale blue stone erupted from the ground. They were 2 feet thick and appeared wet, though no dirt clung to them. At the same time, three more pairs of spikes shot upward. One pair was blacker than midnight, while the other two were a shining gold and pale yellow, respectively. More rocks erupted from the ground, shooting towards the spikes as if they were being drawn by magnets. Emeralds, diamonds, lumps of pure gold, and even more precious resources were called forth from the earth. The tear of a basilisk, powdered dragon's tooth, the elemental iron heart of a lava djinn, and more were summoned to create this powerful object. Some of the ingredients could have been exchanged for less rare crafting materials, but Richter would only have done that because he lacked these perfect elements. The knowledge he had gained from the Tefanim had included the ideal ingredients to make a portal, as well as those that could be substituted. The magic he had just unleashed had no such limitations. As each new piece was added, the overall structure began to take shape. Archways appeared, connecting the spikes. Soon after, a dome came into being, connecting the archways. More and more resources were added. Work that would have taken months now only took seconds. Randolphus watched, open-mouthed, and even Roswan's eyes had widened. Richter wouldn't have spent so many settlement points just for that sight, but it was a nice perk. Minutes passed, and the final items were added. 4 seventh-tier special-level souls, the equivalent of 4 captured demons, or angels. They were all spent at once, awakening the 4 sides of the portal. There was a great flash of light, so bright that the 3 men watching had to turn away. And then it was done. When Richter looked again, he saw that a square structure stood in the courtyard, 20 feet to a side. The dome that had been there during construction had vanished. 4 archways lined the borders of the structure, allowing 4 portals to be active at once. At the apex of each arc, there was a glowing jewel. Each was a different color that matched one of the 4 colors of Richter's place of power. Right then, the structure looked like a delicate and beautiful open-air gazebo. Anyone could casually stroll across it. He knew that once receiving portals were built, each of the 4 sides would become alive with energy and would allow instant travel to 4 other locations built atop ley lines. The Master Node was not the only thing that would be bringing new people to the Mist Village. As soon as the construction was done, his vision exploded with prompts. Congratulations, you have created an apprentice portal. A building of this stature has not been built in the land for over a millennia. In any age, it would be considered powerful, but now it qualifies as a minor wonder of the land. Creating a minor wonder provides the following general gifts. +9% movement speed for every member of your settlement. +5,000 relationship points with any other settlement you connect to via your apprentice portal. Richter had had no idea the portal would have additional benefits beyond instant travel, but he would sure as hell take it. His people could move around almost 10% faster now, and he would get a relationship bonus by connecting his portal to other settlements. Either the air or life ley line would be connected to the hearth tree, most likely the life ley line, though that wouldn't change much because they already had over 100,000 relationship points and had reached ally status. For any settlement he was neutral with, though, that 5,000-point bonus would be enough to advance their relationship 5 ranks, all the way to interested. It would make forming trade treaties way more likely. All of a sudden, he thought of his fallen enemy. The Ghast's disgusting, decaying face appeared in his mind's eye. Richter studied it for a moment, then winked at the image in his mind. Thanks for the heart crystal, Jagoff. Just like when he had made core buildings, the portal gave a boost to loyalty and morale. Not as much, but it was still a good bump towards the next rank. Know this, your people cannot help but be impressed that you have created such a monumental structure. Their morale and loyalty will change to reflect this. +200 morale points for adding a minor wonder to the village. Total morale points, +1,985. +100 loyalty points for adding a minor wonder to the village. Total loyalty points, +4,423.
You did it, my lord, Randolphus exclaimed. You have created a portal.
Then, because the man truly was an economy-conscious chamberlain as well as a spy, he added,
You have just saved the village a vast sum of money by using the settlement points.
Richter chuckled. Randy had expressed concern over the portal's cost, and rightly so. A novice-level portal required 10 pounds of pure gold, and that wasn't even the most expensive component. The inexpensive-slash-cheap version of what they were looking at now would have cost over 130,000 gold in materials alone, the equivalent of almost $13 million. Put another way, it would have bankrupted the village. The portal Richter had been planning on having Roswan make would have been level 1, and would only have been able to connect to a single location. Now, the village could utilize the portal's true potential. That was why it was with supreme satisfaction that Richter responded, "Yes, I have." Now, who's up for celebrating with bacon and beer? Came Roswan's happy response. Chapter 92, Day 149, Kuborn 39, 0 AOC. Richter set Alma loose to hunt in the dungeon. Except for the Harbinger, there shouldn't be anything in the barrow that she couldn't handle. For himself, he jogged back down the stairs and passed through the barbican's open doorway. Black ice was in one hand and his elementum short sword in the other. Randolphus stood next to him, not wearing his elemental armor, but with a heavy dagger in his left hand. Richter had no doubt the spy could handle a few beasts under level 15. Two tuskers attacked while they walked, but they were easily dispatched. Richter felt like a kid on Christmas when he walked up to the first reliquary. Just like Randolphus had said, it looked like a slowly spinning glass pyramid. The edges were lined in gold and the faces were frosted. For a second, he felt a bit salty that these reliquaries looked so much cooler than his dungeon's blood balls. But he got over that quick. There was treasure to be claimed. He wished he had another luck potion to waste, but beggars can't be choosers. The first pyramid he touched dropped a large handful of coins as well as a sizable black gem. "You have found 26 gold crowns, 17 silver marks. You have found black starfire, gem class uncommon, gem clarity unknown, carats unknown, durability 8 of 8, weight 0.03 kilograms. There was also a prompt that appeared as soon as the treasure dropped. "Know this, the Barrow of the Chaos Serpent has claimed a tax on your reliquary." Richter looked at the prompt somewhat sourly. He'd been hoping the tax would work without anyone even knowing. Accessing the vault's interface, though, didn't let him turn that option off, so he would just have to live with it. He turned his attention to his new treasure. The Chaos Seed couldn't identify all the jewel's stats, but it would be going down the Well of Offering anyway in hopes he could get more of them someday. Randolphus had made it clear that the treasure from the Chupacabra's reliquaries was being generated by the Labyrinth, so he couldn't expect another such drop unless he taught his dungeon to make more. Richter still hated throwing money away, but he'd always been one to play the long game. It went into his bag of holding for the moment, and he moved on to the next pyramid. It dropped a weapon that triggered his identification talent. "You have found High Steel Dagger of Glow. Attack 8 to 10. Durability 26 of 26. Item class uncommon. Quality well-crafted. Weight 1.2 kilograms. Traits will emit a soft glow illuminating the nearby surroundings." The dagger wasn't blowing his skirt up, but it was still always nice to have a new enchantment. The next reliquary dropped something considerably more interesting. "You have found Damage Magicka Poison. Alchemy class unusual. Alchemy level suspension. Alchemy strength fortified. Durability 8 of 8. Weight 0.2 kilograms. Traits causes 32 to 38 points of mana damage per second for 15 seconds. This was something he'd been waiting for. Another piece of a very frustrating puzzle. He loved that magic gave him power, but seriously hated that his enemies could use it too. Attacking a caster that knew you were coming was a sure way to a dirt nap. Mage shields had been the bane of his existence in the past. If a few stealthed fighters could sneak up on any caster, though, especially with arrows tipped in this poison, they would be able to destroy their enemy's mana before the battle even began. Most magi were as helpless as babes once their MPs were depleted. He couldn't wait to get it to Tabia and the Cauldron. The last reliquary gave more coins, something he was always happy to see. "You have found 35 gold crowns, 22 silver marks." That one treasure drop had given almost the equivalent of 4 grand worth of coins. Randolphus had said the labyrinth creatures would offer better loot, but just that last reliquary had provided literally thousands of times more coin than he'd gained from the Tuskers. When most workers only made 4 silvers every 2 weeks, or put another way, $40 in coin, the lure of dungeons and the labyrinth was obvious. One kill in the labyrinth could be worth years of backbreaking work. Of course, the trick was getting the one kill. These dog-like chupacabras had been tough sons of bitches, so to speak. Richter was about to suggest they walk back to the Barbican when he remembered the secondary purpose of collecting the loot. Telling Randolphus he'd meet him back in the fortified room, the Chaos Seed cast Dungeon Transport. A moment later, he was standing in his new treasure vault. He took several experimental breaths. He still didn't get how the room was ventilated, but there was no issue. The chest closest to the node had what he was looking for. You have found 9 gold crowns, 4 silver marks, 9 copper shills, and 5 iron bits. There were also 2 small gems, a fire opal, and a water agate. He didn't know their stats, but Richter was willing to bet that when you added their value to the excess coin that was in the chest, it would total exactly what the loot he'd already claimed was worth. His treasure vault worked! 10% of the loot he'd claimed had come to the room. That was more than $1,000 worth of treasure. His worries over the village's economy eased slightly. No proletariat rebellions for his village. Richter gave himself a self-5 and put another 400 crowns in the chest, on the off chance an elementum ingot dropped. He didn't want to lose the money, but elementum was worth it. The 2 gems he kept in his hand. After doing that, he touched the vault's node and found himself near the Well of Offering. Roswan and Randolphus were waiting for him. His new jewels went down the hole. Richter then asked the other 2 men to gather close to him so he could cast Dungeon Transport. They shared an amused glance. Instead, they just walked over and placed their hands on the node built into the wall of the entrance room. A moment after that, they vanished, traveling via their own node roads. Shrugging, Richter called for Alma, but she said she was going to keep hunting in the dungeon and maybe find the entrance to the new floor. He told her happy hunting and placed his hand on the node as well. Together, the 3 men made their way back into the village. After they entered the village gates, Roswan made a beeline for the feast area again, not realizing that Richter had been joking about getting 1 more helping of bacon. As far as the Chaos Seed was concerned, the man could eat 20 meals if he wanted to. The battle was tomorrow, and Richter planned to do some enchanting and find a way to relax a bit, then get some rest. Once morning came, he would be leading his people into war again. Some of them would not come back. Today, every villager deserved all the joy they could get. No matter how the battle turned out tomorrow, there would be death and sorrow. Randolphus peeled off as well with a, "Good day, my lord," and walked towards his office in the catacombs. Richter kept going, planning to go to the Forge of Heavens. He knew exactly what he was going to do with the last few settlement points he had. He was kind of looking forward to Crom's inevitable cursing when he told him. The day was gorgeous. It was hot, and he could tell it might be scorching later. Right at that moment, though, the sky was blue and filled with white fluffy clouds, and a nice cool wind was blowing down from the northern mountains to balance the rising warmth of the day. Richter stopped to grab a quick bite in the feast area, and a welcome voice hailed him.
Lord Richter, how are you on this wonderful day?
The Chaos Seed smiled broadly at hearing the voice.
He-Man! What's up, buddy?
The 2 men shook hands, and Richter was struck yet again with how lucky he was to have found a Chaos Seed that was a friend and not an enemy. It had to be his high luck stat.
Just enjoying the sunshine, He-Man told him.
He shook Richter's hand with a smile.
Where is your little dragon?
Technically, she's a dragonling, Richter responded with a smile, putting stress on the last part of the word. He-Man adopted a fake look of apology and raised his hands in mea culpa. Richter laughed and told him she was hunting in the dungeon.
Ah, He-Man exclaimed dramatically. Always the worst when the women in your life leave you, unless it's the best, right?
He elbowed Richter lightly and the Chaos Seed laughed again.
Seeing as how you're alone, He-Man continued, do you have time to stop for a bite? Or maybe even to take a fellow Chaos Seed on a quick hunting trip? He laughed, already assuming that Richter's answer would be no. Richter stopped and thought about it, though. It was definitely a great day, and he had already planned to take some time to relax after he had done some enchanting. The truth was, ever since the battle plan had changed to resemble a surgical strike rather than an all-out invasion, there wasn't as much need to furiously make more enchanted weapons and armor. Less soldiers involved in the attack meant less equipment was required. That meant there wasn't any reason he couldn't fulfill his earlier promise and take He-Man hunting now for a few hours. The more he thought about it, the more it made sense. He really could use some time to decompress. After the issue with the blood magic, it might do him some good. Richter looked at He-Man with a smile. I already ate, but how about you grab a quick bite and then we go hunting? The other Chaos Seed smiled broadly. Well, all right. He-Man made a small plate for both himself and Richter, saying he hated eating alone. Richter humored him and picked at the food while the other Chaos Seed started telling a story involving two girls, a cup, and a toy train. Richter had to stop in the middle, shouting, That is a disgusting place to hide a child's toy! 10 minutes later, they were at the forge, outfitting He-Man with leather armor and weapons. Crom had some unfortunate news about Richter's old breastplate. Even with the Forge of Heavens, the damage was so extensive that Crom wasn't sure he could repair it. Apparently a bowling ball-sized hole caused by a Mauler's talon piercing it front to back couldn't just be duct-taped back together. Crom said he would talk to Hisako to see if she could help, but for the moment, all his time was already taken up finishing Richter's new suit of armor. That was why, 20 minutes later, Richter was wearing his original sprite chest plate. It didn't offer as much defense, and he missed the 8 points of strength the enhanced breastplate had provided, but it was still a solid piece of armor. He also had his Elementum short sword and sprite bow, but black ice needed to be worked on, according to Crom. Richter equipped a high steel mace instead and left the forge. The village hunters and patrols had already gone out, so Richter felt relatively safe taking He-Man out in the woods despite the man's low level. As most of the patrols had headed to the south today, Richter headed west in hopes that they could find a deer or fox. The gate guards tried to go with them, but Richter waved them back, sure he could handle most anything that was within a mile or two of the village. The two of them quickly talked about this and that as they moved through the forest. He-Man always seemed interested in the other Chaos Seed's adventures. In all honesty, Richter enjoyed having someone he could talk to from back home. He could always speak to Sion or Alma, of course, but it felt different talking to someone who understood just what it meant to have been plucked from their home and placed in the land without warning. It made him almost eager to share. He even recounted most of the details of his recent battle with Nian the Death Knight. Before he knew it, Richter had been talking for an hour, and he felt so much lighter than he had before. He was a bit surprised that he felt comfortable enough to disclose as much info as he had, but there was no denying that it felt good. Still, when he realized how much time had passed, he suggested that they should head back to the village, but then, unexpectedly, He-Man started to share a story of his own. Without being prompted, he opened up and began to speak about his time in the goblin's captivity. The half-gnome had always been happy when they had spoken before, but now his voice was haunted. As they continued through the forest, He-Man opened up about the beatings, the degradation, and the summary executions that had been a part of daily life under the goblins' harsh rule. At times, the goblins would throw dead bodies back into the cages. They thought it was funny to not feed us, so the only choice... His voice trailed off and he stopped walking, overcome with emotion. Richter stopped as well, not sure what to do. A moment later, He-Man straightened and forced a smile onto his face. I'm sorry, Richter. You have enough on your plate. You're going into battle tomorrow, for God's sake. I shouldn't have brought it up. He took a sip from his water skin and looked away, ashamed to make eye contact. Don't feel that way, man. I've had my own issues, and I've needed help to deal with them. Believe me,
He placed a hand on He-Man's shoulder and gave a reassuring squeeze. The other Chaos Seed sighed heavily, but he straightened up. He was clearly forcing cheer into his voice, but he was trying.
"Why don't you tell me a little more about your story, then, oh wise and venerable Lord Richter?"
He finished what he was saying with a laugh and a flourishing bow before handing over his water skin without being asked. Richter accepted it gratefully. His mouth was so dry for some reason. He had already drained the entire water skin he'd brought for himself. After he dealt with the desert between his lips, he gave He-Man a smile.
"You want stories? I've got stories that'll turn you white."
The other Chaos Seed looked at Richter's black skin.
Okay.
Richter shook his head.
"I mean, it's all..."
He stopped talking, looking extremely confused.
What happened?
His body dropped to the ground with a solid thud.
"Ugh. Finally," He-Man huffed.
Richter tried to look up to see what the man was talking about, but he couldn't move his neck at all. In fact, he couldn't move his whole body. All that worked were his facial muscles. That was when he saw a new icon in a corner of his vision. It was in the shape of a man bound with ropes. He knew that icon. It was the paralysis icon. This couldn't be happening again. Not again. No. Richter let out with a low moan. When he had fallen, he'd landed face down. It was only because his head was at an angle that he could breathe at all. Since he couldn't see anything except the grass an inch in front of his eyes, he listened as hard as he could. Of all things, he thought he heard the creak of a door open and then close a minute later, something that made no sense out in the middle of the forest. He still couldn't move anything except for his mouth and eyes, but he could hear He-Man chanting. Seconds later, he saw a flash of bright light and heard a zzzt sound. He thought the other Chaos Seed might have used lightning magic on him somehow, but he felt no pain and his health remained the same. A moment later, Richter felt a hand on one of his shoulders, wrenching him up. He was pushed into a sitting position with his back against a tree. He-Man's face came into view, but with an ugly expression that Richter had never seen on the man before. He was smiling, and his eyes danced with malice, even as he avoided looking directly into Richter's eyes. "Let's just give you a little more, huh?" He-Man sneered. He picked up the water skin Richter had dropped, the skin he had only been pretending to drink from minutes before. Pouring the poisoned water into the Life Master's mouth, he then held Richter's nose and mouth shut. "Too bad we're out of range of your little dragon, huh? Thank you again for letting me know the limit of your communication range. I tell you how annoying it is to hear you gab like an old woman, but it did help. If you hadn't told me, I would have poisoned you half an hour ago just to shut you up." He-Man kept Richter's nose and mouth shut, but also looked around to make sure nothing was sneaking up on them. "You know, I was starting to think I wouldn't ever get you alone before you left to go fight that undead guy. Honestly, it sounds like he would have killed you anyway, so this really shouldn't be too much of a problem. I'm just moving up the timetable on your death a bit." He kept prattling about this and that while he waited until Richter's air ran out and he was forced to swallow. Richter despaired as he realized He-Man was right, both about the stupidity he'd shown in sharing such private information and the fact that Alma was out of range. The Life Master had started calling for her soon after he hit the ground, but there was still no answer. The other psychic connection he had to the Tovut Mahler was much weaker and would only work over short distances. After he swallowed, the paralysis timer increased to 4 minutes and 38 seconds. Whatever poison He-Man had put into the water was potent. Richter kept trying to call for Alma, but there was still no response. His heart beat wildly in panic. He couldn't be killed because of paralysis poison again.
"Don't do this,"
Richter pleaded, some of the poisoned water leaking out of his mouth.
"Don't do this."
How had he ever trusted this guy? Now, he literally couldn't understand how he had ever felt at ease talking to the other Chaos Seed. He knew just how duplicitous his people could be. How could he have been so stupid?
"Sorry,
He-Man replied with a smile and a wink, but still careful not to make eye contact with Richter.
But there is no choice. I'm committed, and I'm sure you already feel the enchantment I placed on you fading away. There just isn't any other choice now.
I doubt you'll still want to be BFFs after what I'm about to do to you, he added with a chuckle.
Before we get to the messy bits, though, I want to show you something. It's pretty cool, if I do say so myself.
Waggling his eyebrows, he reached a hand out and seemed to grab at thin air. Pulling his arm back, though, Richter heard the creaking sound again. To his astonishment, he saw He-Man open an invisible door that was hanging in midair. It revealed a 3x3 foot cubby that looked to be 1 foot deep. As strange as that was, the fact that it was made of wood and had two small shelves made it even weirder. He-Man had basically opened a rent in space, and on the inside of that impossibility was something that looked like it had come from Pottery Barn. Richter screamed in confusion and frustration inside the confines of his own mind, though he could only manage a low moan through his mouth.
What the fuck was going on? I'm sure you're wondering what's going on, right?
He-Man asked.
Don't try to answer. It's actually a bit gross the way you keep drooling on yourself. Hold on. This will only take a second. 5, to be exact.
He took a large vial out of the cubby. It was filled with a brown liquid that somehow gave off a distinctive gray light. With a sinking feeling, Richter realized just how the other Chaos Seed must have gotten the potion. There was only one magic that he knew of that emitted that color. Chaos. He-Man waggled the vial in front of Richter's face.
This is how he beat you. This and a small amount of water was all it took to take you down.
His voice filled with pomp. The great and powerful Richter. Speaking at a normal volume again, but with a hate-filled tone, he concluded, that was all it took to destroy your arrogant ass. He-Man made a loud snot-dragging noise and hawked a sticky, wet glob onto Richter's face, still taking care not to meet the other Chaos Seed's eyes. Feeling the gross nastiness on his face filled Richter with rage, but he still remained in the same position he had been placed in, as helpless as a babe. He-Man left the spittle to slowly ooze down Richter's face, leaving a slimy trail behind. When the deceitful Chaos Seed spoke again, his voice was cheery once more.
Now, we have a little time before I have to go. Let me fill in some of the blanks for you. As you may have guessed, though possibly haven't, you never did strike me as particularly bright. I have an ability. 2, actually, and they work together quite well. The first is what let me beat your little truth-sayer when she asked me those questions about my loyalty. It's called false comfort. Simply put, it sets people's minds at ease. They see whatever I need them to see so that they don't consider me a threat. Those little questions you had the sprite ask were very clever. He laughed. But that spell only tested someone's intent. Since my ability makes others see only the best about me, that wasn't very hard. It even confuses skills like your analyze. Thank you again for telling me about that, by the way. You really should shut up sometimes, you know? Just food for thought. Where was I? Ah, yes, my ability. Admittedly, it might not sound like a very powerful one, but it works oh so well with my other one.
Richter started to try and speak again, but He-Man shook his head with a tut-tut. Then he took off Richter's helmet and slapped the Lord of the Mist Village ringingly across the face. Then did it again, and again, and again. Richter's fury burned within him, but he knew threats wouldn't do anything against this monster. Not in his helpless position. All he could try for was reason.
Peace. Peace. You don't have to do this. We can be friends. I can help you.
He-Man leaned close.
Help me?
He asked in an amused voice. Then one of his hands wrapped around Richter's throat, and he pushed on his captive's windpipe.
Help me?
He asked again, louder and with a tone shaking with anger.
You think you are good enough to help me?
He screamed into Richter's face, specks of spittle flying.
Who are you to think you can help me? Who are you to think you can be my friend? While you've been above ground, becoming a lord and enjoying the sunlight, I was buried. I was eaten 3 times until I found the tribe of gnolls.
Then I was enslaved, beaten and abused until I could learn their language. Ha! Even that would have come easier for you and your goddamn gift of tongues. You were given everything. All my ability could do initially was convince them not to eat me. It doesn't work right if people can't understand me. I had to persuade them in other ways. Use non-verbal communication. I had to find a way to touch them for my other ability to work. How do you think I was able to do that, Lord Richter? How do you think I survived? He was screaming the whole time and spittle rained over Richter. Do you know what it's like to be violated? Sometimes several times in a row by a tribe of denigrated dog-faced gnolls? The stink? The way their coarse hair felt on my skin? Did you know they find the scent of blood to be sexually arousing? They would rake their claws across my back while they raped me again and again. There was an insane light in He-Man's eyes as he relived the atrocities that had defined his early existence in the land. He looked at Richter again, still careful not to meet his eyes. His voice was much more calm, but heavy with scorn and condemnation. Where were you then, my friend? Where were you as I slowly learned enough of the Gnoll language from the other slaves to take the tribe over? Where were you for the months of violence and pain, when the only times I saw light meant I would be raped and cut again and again and again? No, He-Man whispered to him. I reject your kind offer of friendship. Instead, I think I'll just take everything I need from you, including your life. The Chaos Seed stood, but not yet. Throughout He-Man's entire madness-filled rant, Richter had tried to make eye contact. His only hope was to draw the other man into his mindscape and keep him there until the paralysis wore off. He did not succeed, but that didn't mean his intense stare had no effect. He-Man noticed his efforts and understood their significance. The man's response was swift and brutal. Drawing the very dagger Richter had given him barely an hour before, he swung the pommel down with crushing force. There was an audible crunch, and Richter was knocked back down to the earth. His jaw flared with pain, and his vision darkened. The pain worsened when his face hit the ground, and he couldn't be sure he didn't lose consciousness for a few moments. The next thing he knew, a red debuff was flashing in his vision. You have suffered a fractured jaw. You can no longer form words. You can no longer accomplish the verbal component of spellcasting. When He-Man set him upright again, he had the same condescending smile on his face. Tears of impotent rage fell from Richter's eyes. He desperately tried to meet He-Man's gaze again, even though he knew the consequences, if only out of spite. If only to prove to this horror of a man that he wouldn't be cowed by pain. Pain had become, if not an old friend, something that he did not fear nearly as much as he once had. Challenge and anger blazed in his eyes. He-Man's response was once again both definitive and brutal. The other Chaos Seed might have lost control for a few moments, but he was no fool. He had listened well to Richter's tale of his battle with Nien and would not make the same mistake as Richter's latest vanquished foe. Instead of meeting Richter's eyes, he raised the dagger again, this time bringing it down with crushing force on Richter's right eye. The orbit fractured inward from that first blow, some bone shards scraping the top of the soft orb. The force of the strike bruised the eye as well. He-Man landed two more blows on that side of the helpless Chaos Seed's face, and three more on the left. For good measure, he then bound a strip of cloth around Richter's eyes, but he needn't have bothered. His brutality had already maimed his victim. You have suffered bilateral orbital fractures and bilateral ocular lacerations. You are blind. The left ocular nerve has been damaged. The pain you are suffering is beyond the capability of most humans to endure. Your enhanced secondary attribute, resilience, has preserved your sanity for now, but continuing to endure pain at these levels may cause madness. Well, that gentled you down some, didn't it? He-Man judged, sounding extremely pleased with himself. This is your own fault. If you hadn't been bragging for days about how you're such a badass spellcaster, I wouldn't have had to break your jaw. And if you hadn't told me you were a dangerous psychic, I wouldn't have had to take out your eyes. You're lucky you don't have any cock magic, huh? Eamon laughed long and hard. His earlier slip into insanity was apparently forgotten. You have no idea how annoying it has been having to smile at you for the last few days, seeing that self-righteous look on your smug face, Lord Richter. Look at you now, still looking up at me even though you can't see. Still pompous. He huffed in irritation. You'll lose that cockiness before the end. I promise you that, boy. Richter heard He-Man stand up. I knew without you even telling me that you were from the Western Confederation back on Earth. Weren't you? The fact that Richter couldn't answer anymore didn't slow his torturer down for a second. That's always the problem with you people. All that holier-than-thou bullshit you've been spewing for the past few days simply reeks of your democratic indoctrination. Who are you to come to this new world and stick your nose in cultures that have been evolving for hundreds of thousands of years? Who are you to decide what is right and what is wrong? Richter could barely follow what He-Man was saying. The three injuries to his face made his mind feel like it was swirling in a whirlpool of pain. He felt like if he were to go all the way down the drain, only madness waited below. It was almost all he could do to keep afloat. He-Man didn't care. He just looked around the forest again before continuing. Where was I? Ah, yes. My first ability is quite useful for an introduction, and apparently for fooling truth tests. But my second ability is the one I really love. It's called Forced Friend. When I first woke up in those goddamn tunnels, that part of what I told you was true, by the way. I thought I was still playing the game. I tried to access my status screen, of course. Gaming 101, right? When it appeared, though, it said I was a level 1 half-gnome, half-human. I thought I'd gotten hacked. You have no idea how pissed I was. When I was gaming, I was always an orc or a barbarian lord. I was the leader of one of the largest PK guilds on the Eastern server. He had puffed his chest up as he said that, but only held the pose for a moment before laughing in self-deprecation. Has if any of that ever actually mattered? He shook his head. While I examined my status page, I thought that my second ability, Forced Friend, was the shittiest ability of all time. We didn't even have a relationship system back in the game. I thought it was a glitch. He grinned at Richter again, not caring that the other man was now blind. I was so wrong! Forced Friend gives me up to thousands of relationship points a day with anyone I physically touch. Sometimes it's more and sometimes it's less, but every time they'd like me more. That was why I had to suffer being raped by those dogs day after day. As many horrors as I had to endure in time, I overcame the natural hate they have for humans. After that, they started to like me, then love me. They still continued to abuse me and use my body until I was able to learn their language. But I did learn it, he finished triumphantly. A smile of pure, sick perversion bloomed on his face. After that, after I got revenge on some of the worst rapists in the tribe, I got to start practicing my abilities on the other slaves the gnolls had. I also got to start having sex with people that I wanted to fuck. They weren't always willing, but after catching for months, you can't blame me for pitching, can you? The sickness in the man's laugh penetrated even Richter's pain-addled mind. It disgusted him, but without any means to communicate, all he could do was continue to listen to the evil man's diatribe. What I found is that it worked better on some races than others. Their overall attitude and personality can make a difference, too. The slaves that still had some fire in them were more resilient, while those eager to please grew to like me faster. You know, I was sure that a thirsty little bitch like you would take my whole load every day. His laugh was derisive and hateful, but he added begrudgingly, you were able to resist my ability to a certain extent, though. I only got up to 2,500 relationship points with you every day. It was still enough to make you spill your secrets like a girl on prom night, but it was slower than I would have liked. Why is that? Do you have some sort of mental or emotional resistance? Do you have a high wisdom
That would give you a higher magical resistance, but would that protect you from me? He-Man seemed genuinely interested, but then he just shrugged. You probably wouldn't be able to tell me even if you could speak. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Needless to say, even at reduced levels, having a boost to my relationship with you every day added up. Just look what I got you to do after only 6 days. Come all the way out here and tell me all your little secrets. I'm pretty sure in 12 days you would have been bending over and calling me daddy. What do you think? The pain wasn't gone, but Richter had mastered it enough for his rage to return. It built up inside of him, just waiting for release. No? He-Man asked. Maybe papi instead? Were you a Latin lover back on Earth, or was your skin always the color of shit? He sneered again. It doesn't matter. As I was saying, I learned more about my abilities and found that the higher my charisma, the more relationship points forced friend could earn me. It aggravated me having to waste points in such a soft attribute, but then he slapped Richter's face none too gently. You invested quite a few points there yourself, didn't you, pretty boy? The pain from those slaps against his ruined face almost made the enchanter vomit. The other Chaos Seed smiled brightly. Let's up your dose again, shall we? Now, this might hurt a bit. He-Man grabbed Richter's fractured jaw in a strong grip, the man's strength enhanced by months of mining. Richter mewled in pain, and his consciousness devolved into pure agony once again. His tormentor poured more of the poisoned water down his throat and clamped his nose and mouth shut for a second time. After his air ran out, his swallow reflex triggered and he swallowed more of the immobility potion. The paralysis counter increased by another 4 minutes. Tears rolled down Richter's cheeks, and shame mixed with the rage he was feeling. The fury wasn't only focused on He-Man. It was also on himself as well. How could he have let this happen? He had let his guard down. Again. Alma! He screamed with his mind. Alma! There was still no response. What was I saying? He-Man mused, completely unconcerned with the agony he had just caused. I keep getting distracted when I hurt you, but it's just so much fun! There I go, getting distracted again. He chuckled to himself before holding up a finger in Eureka. I remember now. I was explaining why we can't be buddies anymore. The only downside to my abilities is that once I take direct action against you, I lose all the relationship points I gained with my forced friend ability, and the perception filter from my false comfort ability fades away. That's why our relationship has gone all the way down to hatred. Well, that and the fact that I've drugged you and broken your jaw, huh? So unfortunately, I'm going to have to say no to your earlier request to not do this. Also, your offer of friendship and help, as sweet and unmotivated by self-interest as I'm sure they were, will just have to get a big fat no from me. Instead, I think I'll be taking all of your chaos points. Seeing Richter's eyes widen, He-Man chuckled. So you really haven't met another Chaos Seed before, huh? Thought you might have been lying about that, though I suppose it's not surprising seeing as how you live in the ass end of nowhere. Let me give you a little education. As far as I have been able to tell, each and every one of us, everyone stolen from Earth, contains a certain amount of chaos. When we kill each other, the winner, he looked pointedly at Richter, that would be me in this case, gets all the chaos points the other person has. Exactly how much seems to vary, but I do know that the more times you die, the more points you come back with. The first chaos seed I killed, this pretty little elf girl, only gave me 1 point. She had never died before, you see. He waved his dagger in front of Richter's face lasciviously. Even though it was only one, though, after I penetrated that bitch, he winked in every sense of the word. That chaotic energy flowed into me and, oh! He-Man closed his eyes and shivered in erotic memory. It was better than freebasing devil's breath back home. As he spoke, the madness of addiction danced behind his eyes. If Richter could have seen it, he would have recognized it immediately. He'd seen it back on Earth when he'd volunteered in the worst ERs. The all-consuming need that some patients had for a fix.
so bad that if they didn't have the money to score, then they might jump in front of a car just so they could get a few milligrams of Dilaudid once they were brought into the hospital. Richter had seriously enjoyed the feeling of chaos energy flowing into him, but he had never experienced the almost sexual reaction that He-Man was describing.